A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Once there was a rich man who dressed in purple and fine linen and feasted splendidly every day. At his gate lay a beggar named Lazarus, who was covered with sores, and Lazarus longed to eat the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. The dogs even came and licked his sores. Eventually, the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man likewise died and was buried. And from the abode of the dead, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes. He saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus resting in his bosom. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to refresh my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames.' 'My child,' replied Abraham, 'remember that you were well off in your lifetime, while Lazarus was in misery. Now he has found consolation here, but you have found torment. And that is not all. Between you and us there is fixed a great abyss, so that those who might wish to cross from here to you cannot do so, nor can anyone cross from your side to ours.' 'Father, I ask you then,' the rich man said, 'send him to my father's house, where I have five brothers. Let him be a warning to them, so that they may not end up in this place of torment.' Abraham answered, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' replied the rich man, 'but if someone would only go to them from the dead, then they would repent.' Abraham said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither would they be convinced, even if one should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Rather interesting gospel. You sure? You like it? You do? Not much to like about it, really. No? Not much to like about it. It's very bare and disturbing. Yeah? Sure, there are a lot of things to be disturbed about it, and Jesus certainly had his mind set on that. It's not unrelated. In fact, it's intensely related to the previous parables. Remember the ones that we looked at. In the opening of chapter 15, it says, the scribes and Pharisees were listening to Jesus as he taught, and they were murmuring among themselves, saying, "This man eats with sinners and tax collectors." That was their first issue. And Jesus proceeds from there to tell them the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And then moving into chapter 16, which we read from last week, it says Jesus turned to his disciples. He had been teaching, knowing, directing the message to the scribes and Pharisees, and also having his disciples listen. But then he intentionally turns to the disciples in last week's gospel. And remember, he told them the story? The householder, remember? The unjust steward, the house manager who had been put in charge. And even though he had turned back to the disciples, scribes and Pharisees knew exactly who he was talking about. He was talking about them. It had been entrusted to them. They were supposed to be the religious leadership, and instead of sharing and opening up the Word of God and opening up the process of the kingdom to those who were entrusted to their care, they just didn't care. And then we end that gospel last week on, you cannot serve two masters. And then immediately the next line in the gospel, which is skipped today, it says, the Pharisees, who loved money, heard all of this and laughed at him. He said to them, "You are the very ones who pass yourselves off as being virtuous in people's sight, but God knows your hearts." God knows the heart. "For what is thought highly of by men is loathsome to God." And then he moves into the next parable, and again it's addressed to them. What a challenging parable. The rich man and Lazarus. And it finds a relationship with all of the others. Here's this man in all of his grandeur and clothing and festivity, all symbolizing the power. But he really had very limited power when it comes down to it, because he didn't know how to use the gifts that were given him. It's a terrible limited power if we do not know how to use the gifts that are given us. If we hoard them, and if we work out of a principle that they are for us, no, they are for the benefit of building up the kingdom. That's what he missed. And as Luke tells the story, it just seems to gather momentum as he moves into it. Here is the man behind the gates, feasting sumptuously, not just some days, but every day. It is part of his natural life. Meanwhile, at his gate is this individual. Luke seems to indicate that he was just left there, perhaps handicapped, but definitely looked upon with disdain. The simple little detail that Luke has, the dogs come and lick his sores, a simple understanding of the uncleanliness of this person. The dogs were seen in those days as unclean because they foraged among things that were unclean and so could cause one to be defiled in terms of the religious experience. So all of the little details that Luke has, they're very important. All little telltale signs. And then he's moving it toward a final piece, saying there will be a judgment. And the judgment will be based on the law and the prophets and on the Christ. They have Moses and the prophets to teach them. And even if one should rise from the dead, what difference does it make? And that's the big question. What difference does it make in your life, in my life, that one has risen from the dead? Does it make a difference in the way I approach what has been given me? Does it make a difference in terms of my connectedness to the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the family, the kingdom? That would have been an extremely difficult story for the religious leadership to hear. It's an extremely difficult story for us to hear because it'd be hard to conceive that somebody seeing them sitting there would not be attentive. And yet it's a great truth in our lives because the poor do disturb us. That is why it's easier to walk by. Because deep within each of us, being in the image and likeness of God and created in his image, it is disturbing when we see them. People who are handicapped or people who are outcast or people who are on the parameter. It's always disturbing. And that is why so often we just want to turn our eyes elsewhere and move on by. Businessman in San Antonio tells a great story of himself. He had parked his brand new car on a street and he went off to take care of some business in San Antonio. And when he got back to his car, he noticed this young boy who was very poor, about 11 years of age, and he was admiring the car. Businessman says his eyes were this big as he just took in all of that fine car. And he said, when I was about to put the key in the car, he said, the young boy said, "Is that your car, mister?" "Yes, it is," he said. He said, "What a lovely car." He said, "How much did you pay for that?" And he said, "I have no idea. I have no idea how much it costs." And he said, "You mean you got it and you don't know how much you paid for it?" "Well," he said, "I didn't pay for it." He said, "It was a gift." "Oh," he said, "who would give you such a gift?" And he said, "My brother gave it to me as a gift." And the young boy said, "Oh, I wish, he said." And the man says, I thought immediately he was going to say, "I wish I had a brother like that." But he said, I was stunned by what he said. He said, "I wish I could be a brother like that." And he said, there I was. He said, he had so much more than I had. His heart had. He said, he had more than I had in my heart. He was far richer than I was. There I was, dressed in my finery. Then he said, stood there just taking it in, and he said, I invited him to come for a ride in the car, and he said, "No, sir," he said, "my dirty clothes," he said, "would mess up the seats, the beautiful seats in your car." But he said, I worked on him, and he eventually agreed to sit in, and I told him I would take him for a little trip uptown. And as we traveled uptown, we had gone about a mile, and he said to me, "Would you mind going by my house where I live?" I said, "Sure." And he drove down. He lived in a fourth floor apartment, and he said, "Sir, will you wait for me for a moment?" And he ran upstairs, and he came back down in just a moment, carrying his little brother in his arms who had infantile paralysis. And he carried him in his arm, and he stood there by the car, and he said, "Bro," he said, "one day I'm going to buy you a car just like that." And he said, now I was completely shaken. And he said, "Then when I buy you that car," he said, "we will drive around and see all of the sights." And the businessman said to him, "You don't have to wait that long." He said, "Why don't you both sit in? And we'll go and see the sights." And they sat in, and he said, "I went down and found the biggest toy store that we could find." And he said, "The next 3 hours were the finest 3 hours of my life." That's the gospel of the Lord.